Welcome to the Right Division Network Podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word, Rightly Divided. And we're going to be continuing today, going through our study of the book of 1 Thessalonians. We're here in chapter number 1. And we've been looking at verse number 10 over the last few episodes, which says, "And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." And we've got down to the part of where the Apostle Paul is saying, even Jesus, a confirmation of who the Son that's actually being spoken of in the very first part of this verse is, and how this really confirms that this is all speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it would really take away from the things that, you know, people try to do to take, you know, look at the Lord Jesus Christ, say he's not God, say he's not the individual that all the scriptures have pointed out that he is. You know, we've looked at that a few episodes back, looking at how individuals really attack the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, whether they're looking at him as a created individual, whether they look at him as, you know, a lesser God, whether they look at him as an individual who, you know, was God and then emptied himself of all of the attributes of God. All of these different things that individuals really do to try to take away from the fact that he is the Messiah, the Christ, the individual that had been promised, the one who was going to take care of the sin issue for all of mankind. The individual that during this dispensation, we put our trust in what he did on the cross, and the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures, believing in that and that alone for our salvation. And if all of these other things that individuals try to say about him is true, then the fact of what Paul says over in 2 Corinthians when he talks about how he took sin upon him, so that way we could receive his righteousness, that wouldn't make any sense at all, because his righteousness wouldn't be good enough to take care of that issue of sin. We would still be in sin at this point if he was anything less than what the scriptures say that he is. This is also why the Apostle Paul can really stress the fact of what he continues on in this verse to talk about when it mentions the fact that he's delivered us from the wrath to come. And that deliverance is a very important aspect of what has been promised to believers today, and the fact that we've been delivered from, and he's going to talk about the issue of the wrath that's going to come. But before we get to that, we have to look at this idea of the deliverance that the Apostle Paul is actually making a reference to. And when we look at that idea, you know, when you start talking about being delivered from something, it's very clear that whatever it is that we're being delivered from, he has to be something that would be bad and detrimental to us as individuals. Now, the definition of that word delivered means freed, released, transferred or transmitted, passed from one to another, committed, yielded, surrendered, you know, all these different things. You know, and this all comes from Webster's 1828 dictionary. And the idea being that we're delivered from what he's actually making a reference to. Now, what individuals will try to turn this into is really looking at this idea of that an individual is delivered from any sort of suffering that would happen on this earth. Now, we know that that's not a promise that's been made to any member of the body of Christ. Because the Apostle Paul really does talk about the fact that members of the body of Christ are actually going to suffer certain things. So, before we even get to us suffering, we see that there's a promise made about how the Apostle Paul was going to suffer. Let's go over to Acts chapter number 9, where we'll look at an issue that comes up right with the salvation of the Apostle Paul. You know, in the very beginning of chapter 9, you have the Apostle Paul seeing the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. You see him receiving the salvation that's coming here. Now, we're going to skip down here to pick up in verse number 13, where we're going to be having a discussion between the Lord and Ananias here. And verse 13 says, "Then Ananias answered, 'Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name.' But the Lord said unto him, 'Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake.'" So there's a promise that's been made related to the Apostle Paul about how he's going to suffer a number of things in his ministry related to spreading the gospel of the grace of God. And we see how the Apostle Paul makes a reference to the sufferings that he experiences in this ministry. And let's go over to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, where we'll see the Apostle Paul is actually going to list out these sufferings that are actually occurring here. And here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, we're going to start here at verse number 23. It says, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches." Now, you look at this list and you see all of these different things that the Apostle Paul is listing out and talking about how he suffered, you know, all of these things. You know, a list when, you know, most people would look at this and if they had even a portion of these things happen to them as a result of preaching the gospel of the grace of God, at some point they would have made the decision that I'm not going to do this anymore. It's not worth it to me because of all of these sufferings. And they would give up their ministry because they wouldn't want to have to keep going through all of these things. Now, the Apostle Paul talks about things. He says, "Follow me as I followed Christ." So he talks about how he's following the Lord Jesus Christ, lays out a pattern for that, and then talks about how we should be doing the exact same thing. So if we're doing the exact same thing and doing things as Paul was doing it, then what would be natural would be the fact that we would be experiencing some of those same types of suffering just as the Apostle Paul did in his ministry. And we see how Paul talks about, you know, the condition that he was in related to these things and how he was able to effectively deal with any of these things. If we go over to the book of Philippians, we'll go to Philippians chapter number 4, to where we'll see the Apostle Paul actually say some things about dealing effectively with these type of situations. And we're going to start here at verse number 11 of Philippians chapter number 4. It says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." Then he says in verse 13, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." And when we see him talk about these things and saying he can do all things through Christ, he's talking about the things that he's just listed out in verses 11 and 12, talking about in all of those different situations, it's going to be the Lord Jesus Christ that's going to be able to get him through whatever it is, whether everything is going completely well for him, or whether there's problems that are going on in his life as a result of his ministry. The true end result of all of it is that he can do it because of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he can say, as long as we're here, we can read verse number 19 of the chapter as well, when it says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to the riches and glory by Christ Jesus." He can supply all of our need. Now, when we look at what our need is always going to be tied in with where our blessings are focused on. Our blessings are not focused on the things of this world. Our focus is on the things on the heavenly places. We're promised all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Such as how our conversation, our lifestyle is in heavenly places. All the things that we are to be focused on is related to the heavens. The nation of Israel, their program, prophecy, was focused on the things of the earth. That's why their blessings, if you read a chapter, for example, like Deuteronomy chapter number 28, where you see the chapter talks about how if somebody's doing the right things, talking about their performance, that as they're doing the right things, they're going to be experiencing all of the physical blessings that are going to come upon them because of their performance. And if they're doing all of the wrong things, if they're committing the sin because they were breaking the law, the end result of it would be in the exact same areas where there would have been the physical blessings, there would be the cursings, or the areas would be affected negatively in the same ways that they would have been receiving all the positive benefits of what he had promised. That's why when he's saying he's supplying all of our need, our true need is, and I want to read verses 6 and 7 now of Philippians chapter number 4. It says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." That is the need that the members of the body of Christ has. The fact that we would receive the peace of God, that we would have our hearts and minds kept through Jesus Christ, so we would be able to deal with whatever the situation is, whether things are going well or things aren't going so well. And we know that, unfortunately for us, the members of the body of Christ today, that there's going to be a lot of things that aren't going to go very well for us because of the promise that the Apostle Paul makes related to who we are as members of the body of Christ. Because we can go back, for example, let's go to chapter number 1 in the book of Philippians, and we're going to see exactly what Paul says about us and about the life that we're supposed to be living here. when he says here in verse number 29 of Philippians chapter number 1, "For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake." Part of who we are as the members of the body of Christ, it is given to us to suffer for him. If we're doing all of the things that God intends for us to do, and that's when Paul talks about, you know, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. When Paul identifies what the will of God is, it's the will of God that all men would be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. In order to do that would mean that we would be preaching the gospel. We would be teaching the things of the dispensation of the grace of God to individuals that once they were saved, they would start to have the edification and the exhortation that comes about through the word of God rightly divided. And the result of us doing that, teaching that message, is the fact that we are going to experience the suffering that the Apostle Paul promises is going to come for us. So he talks about how that's part of who we are. Let's go over to the book of 2 Timothy now, to where we're going to see as Paul's closing out his epistles, and in his very last epistle is going to talk about these things related to the suffering that's going to happen here. We're going to turn to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. We're going to start here in verse number 11. It says, "It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself." Now, verse 13 really takes away the argument that many individuals would try to make of what this passage is talking about, to where they would try to say that the Apostle Paul is saying that an individual would be losing their salvation as a result of what's going on here, that when he's saying if we deny him, he will deny us, because we know that when he says that if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, we know that he's going to abide faithful, so we know that it's going to be impossible for him to deny himself, because we're part of who he is as a member of the body of Christ. We are part of the Lord Jesus Christ now. So the idea in verse 12, when it's talking about if we suffer, we shall reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. The issue being that if we are doing the things that we're supposed to be doing, we're going to experience the suffering that comes about as a result of doing those things. Then we're going to reign with him. If we deny him, and the way we would deny him would be that we would deny him in the area of the suffering, because we weren't doing the right things, and since we weren't doing the right things, we're not suffering, and so he's going to deny us the reigning that should have been ours if we were doing the right things. That's a whole reference to what's going to happen at the judgment seat of Christ, where an individual, if they're doing the right thing, they're building the gold, silver, and precious stones. If they're doing the wrong things, they're building the wood, hay, and stubble. The fire comes down and judges those things. The wood, hay, and stubble burns away. Nothing remains. The gold, silver, and precious stones are purified. And based on what is left, if there's gold, silver, and precious stones, a person receives their reward, which is the ability to reign with him. If everything burns away, the only thing that can happen is they still have their salvation, because Paul talks about how a person is saved, yet so as by fire, they lose the ability to reign with him. Now, the Apostle Paul, if we go over to chapter number 3, and we look at what Paul's talking in 2 Timothy chapter number 3 about, where he's going to lay out some things in the first part of this chapter, where he's going to be describing some things of what's going to happen to Paul the local assembly as we get closer and closer to the last days of this dispensation and how individuals are going to be going away from the things of what the Apostle Paul has been teaching. But we see him actually talk about here, let's skip down to verse number 10. It says, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came upon me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Now, when we look at this, individuals have a viewpoint on what they think persecution means. And they say, well, somebody called me a name, you know, when I preached the gospel to them, so I suffered persecution today. That is not what the Apostle Paul's talking about. He very clearly, in the previous verse, in verse 11, pointed out the things of what happened at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, things that Timothy knew about, things that you can read about in the book of Acts. And when you read those things, you see that it is very much physical persecutions that were happening. In fact, the definition of that idea of persecution is the act or practice of persecuting, the affliction of pain, punishment, or death upon others unjustly, particularly for adhering to a religious creed or mode of worship, either by way of penalty or for compelling them to, you know, compelling them to attempt to go back on their principles. The idea is that the persecution that comes is because somebody is standing for something, is teaching certain things, there's going to be physical pain and punishment that's going to come upon them. Now, again, this is talking about things that could be happening farther on in this dispensation and individuals' experiences. And it says, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So there's a time coming when everybody who is standing for the truth of this dispensation is going to actually endure that type of suffering and is going to have to make a decision for themselves on whether they're going to continue to teach the things of Paul has given to them, or whether they're going to decide it's not worth it to me, I'm going to go away from these things because I can't endure this suffering anymore. The idea being that truly all members of the body of Christ are going to suffer this type of persecution that's going to come upon them. But it's that persecution is going to be very much different from what the Apostle Paul says that we as the members of the body of Christ have been delivered from, when he says we've been delivered from the wrath to come. And the wrath to come is speaking specifically about some things in the prophetic program that were promised to the nation of Israel that had to occur prior to the establishment of the kingdom upon the earth. And what's very clear is that the members of the body of Christ are not going to be here for the events that are identified as the wrath to come. Now, in our next episode, we're going to talk a lot about what that wrath to come actually is and see what it is that scriptures truly identify that time as being. Now, as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have audio files of our messages. We have information about how to watch our Sunday services live, either on YouTube live or being broadcast on Facebook. We have information about how to join our Wednesday night Bible study through a conference call. And as always, if you ever have any questions or comments, either about things that you've heard in these broadcasts, things that you've read at our website, you know, heard in one of our messages, you can contact us through the various methods that are on our website, and we'd be more than happy to answer any questions that you might have. And one last thing as we close out, we just want to remind everyone that, you know, on October 7th, the first Sunday of October, we'll be having a one-day seminar related to some things related to salvation. The information about that is actually on our website. So if you happen to be in the Buffalo area during that time, we would love to have you be part of that seminar and, you know, as part of that, to have the fellowship with the fellow members of the body of Christ. Until next time, remember that Jesus Christ is Lord.